following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again, folks. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I am glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It continues to be the season of Easter, and so we continue to celebrate the miracle of the resurrection. And one of the ways that we are celebrating the continuation of the Easter celebration is by asking ourselves, what do we do with this celebration? How do we get beyond locking ourselves in a room out of fear of the world? How do we live and serve as sent people, as men and women sent by Jesus Christ, just as Jesus was sent to us and just as Jesus sent his disciples? And so we are looking at that idea of being sent, of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ by blessing the people in our lives and blessing the whole world. And we have, as you have seen now for a couple weeks, some really great resources available from our denomination through an evangelism initiative, not program, initiative, called BLESS. And the focus is on learning and practicing how, with very practical steps, we can share Jesus with others. And this very intentionally is not a program where we're just checking off lists, where we're rushing through some script, where we're trying to fit ourselves into a tiny box of what evangelism is supposed to look like. This is a series about how I, as an individual, how you, as individuals, as unique people, can share the hope, the joy, and the love that you have in Christ with others. And so my prayer is that this will stretch you in really good ways, that you will be pushed into the little bit uncomfortable, knowing all along the way that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's work in the world. We began last week where we must always begin, with prayer. We looked at the story of Jesus calling the apostles, his closest disciples. And before Jesus did that, he spent time in prayer. He went away, he took time, and he made space to pray to God about this momentous decision to come the next morning. And so our first step was simple. Pray. Pray, asking God for the names of 3 to 5 people that he is asking you to introduce to Jesus. That's it. You weren't meant to think or plan beyond that. You didn't need to have anything more figured out than just committing to pray, listening to who God has in mind for you. And I know how difficult it is to stop right there. Just the other day, Erica and I were driving after having looked at a couple of townhouses that were available. We're going to have to move at some point this summer, so we're looking at places. And our conversation moved very quickly into where the couch was going to go, where the chair was going to go, whether or not our dining room table would fit there. All of the very specific details of whether or not these places would work for us. And I just kind of paused. This is going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but I'm really not. I paused and I said, this is exactly what we talked about on Sunday, where we're not supposed to jump all the way ahead and try to have everything figured out in this. We have some very, very concrete first steps that we needed to take in that. We needed to email each of the people who were the landlords and ask some questions first before anything else could happen. There were very simple first steps we needed to take. But boy, isn't it easy to just jump beyond that. Jump way beyond it into stuff that right now was not our concern. So for now, The assignment was only to pray for the names of 3 to 5 people. I know that it's natural to get ahead of ourselves, especially with something intimidating like evangelism, right? We want to have it all figured out because this is something that feels a little difficult, a little scary. But I'd encourage you to really take each of these weeks step by step. Allow God to work in a longer time frame. Don't rush ahead of yourselves. And so I hope and I trust that you spent time this week listening to who God was putting on your hearts. And then I hope that you wrote it down. Because if you're anything like me, it is all too easy, if you don't write something down, for it to just slip out of our minds. I came in to the building this morning freaking out because when Mike and I met on Monday evening to talk about the service, I promised Mike that throughout the week I was going to come and make sure that we had a little direct box, this thing. I was going to look during the week, and if we didn't, then I was going to buy one so that it would be here for Sunday morning, no worries. I did not do that because I did not write that down at all during the week. Fortunately, it was where it was supposed to be in our sound cabinet, and God was gracious, even in my forgetfulness. But write these down for yourselves. Write them down so that you remember, so you don't kind of, you know, get wishy-washy about the names. Decide, oh, well, this person, it's harder than I thought it was going to be, so I'm going to mentally cross this person off and jot down mentally another. Have them written down in front of you so that they are there for you to pray for. And then please include me, include the church in the opportunity to pray for you and for these individuals. If you don't want to write down a whole name for privacy's sake, that's fine. Initials are great. But please allow me to be praying for you and for those that God is asking you to introduce to Jesus. And like I said, you're welcome to email me those names as well. If you don't have the sheet, you've lost the sheet, if remembering to bring the sheet back is tough, I get it. But let me pray over these names that are here, the names that are on our hearts. And then we can continue this morning looking at how we can learn to bless the world by blessing the people God is putting before us. Holy God, this morning we commit these names, these initials, these people to you. We ask, Lord, that you lead us and guide us in how to bless these brothers and sisters. Give us wisdom and courage, Lord. Help us as we are sent by your Son into the world to bless the world and to share your love with the world. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to empower us, and we step forward in faith, Lord, knowing that you have already prepared the way for us. And we pray this all in the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning, as you have likely gathered from the flyer sitting either on your seat or the one next to you, we are focusing on listening. Listening with care. And our scripture passage is again from the book of Luke. This time it is Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand, and I'm sure Gord would love to bring you a Bible for today or to keep. So let's take a look at Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. I like a number of things about this passage. First, I really like that the focus of the story, the blind beggar, was simply sitting by the roadside begging. He wasn't a part of this crowd traveling with Jesus. He was a part of the town, an outcast part of the town, but a part of the town nonetheless. And then understandably, probably hearing quite a commotion as the crowd passed by, he asked, "What's happening? Why all the fuss?" "Well, Jesus is passing by," the crowd told him. And so the man, clearly having heard something of who Jesus is, called out to Jesus to have mercy on him. He made a very genuine and understandable request. And that brings us to a pivotal point in the story that actually bugs me quite a bit. It bugs me that the crowd tells this man to quiet down. It doesn't give us why. Are they selfish? Do they want Jesus just for themselves? Do they want Jesus to only care for those that they want him to care for? Do they not want to bother Jesus with such an outcast, though clearly Jesus has ministered to all kinds of people already and made it very clear that that's what he's going to do? Are they in a hurry? We don't know, but it bothers me. It bothers me that the crowd tells him to quiet down. The blind beggar, however, is undeterred. And good for him. He shouts again all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, of course, hears him. Hears him over the crowd and has the man brought to him. And then Jesus does something incredibly important for us to note this morning. Jesus asks a question. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then Jesus listens for the answer. He listens to what the man wants, what the man needs. And Jesus heals the man. The keys here are that Jesus asks the question and listens for the man's response. And that's the focus for us this morning as well, asking questions and listening carefully to the responses. And so our next step, as we prayerfully consider how to reach the people God has placed on our hearts, is to ask good questions and then listen to the answers. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to ask that same question that Jesus asks? What do you want me to do for you? As a church, are we willing to ask our community that question? South Surrey, White Rock, what do you want us to do for you? As individuals, are you willing to ask those 3 to 5 people on your sheets, what do you want me to do for you? We must be willing to ask that question. And we have to be willing to listen to people to learn what it is they really need, how it is we can serve them, how we can truly be a blessing to them. It's a simple thing to understand, but it's a difficult thing to do. But if we truly care, we have to be willing to do what people need us to do, not only what we want to do or what we're comfortable with or what we think might be best. In the book that I'm using, kind of walking through some of this, Dave Ferguson passes on a story from a missionary named Michael Frost, who tells a story about this missionary group who went to India to serve the poor in a remote village. The group showed up with all kinds of supplies and programs and skilled workers ready to transform that village into a place of health and vitality. And they went to the people living in what was really a slum and said, "We could build a medical clinic to help you take care of the hurting and the sick. We could build a school to provide education so the next generation can work their way out of poverty. We could build a church so you could gather on the weekends and learn about God. So what do you want us to do for you?" That sounds a whole lot like the question Jesus asked. They got to it eventually. And the people of the village said, "We need a mailbox." you know, like our own official postal code. The missionary said, a mailbox. We can give you a school or a church building or a medical clinic, and all you want is your own mailbox. And the people said, yes. What we really need most is a mailbox. Because apparently in India, if you live in a slum, you do not have a zip code or a postal code or a mailbox, which means that you do not even exist on a map. Even if you are a community of 10 to 20,000 people, if you don't have that postal code, it's so much easier in the U.S. to say zip code. Postal code is a real tongue twister. You are not recognized as existing. You're not recognized as anything. You're not recognized as being, having the opportunity to get social services from the government. The people did not want a school, a medical clinic, or a church first. They wanted to be put on a map. They wanted to have an identity. They wanted to become recognized as a part of their own country. And the missionaries would not have known this. They would have had no idea unless they had been willing to ask the question and listen to the answer. And it was no small task. It took the missionaries 2 years to work through the bureaucracy to get the village registered. But once they did, the village began to be changed. It was a really bold move for these missionaries to ask the question, what do you want us to do for you? They were all ready. They were all set up to build something substantial, a medical clinic, a school, a church building. They had the supplies. They had the skilled workers. They knew what they were doing when it came to those things. They just needed the people in the village to choose. But none of those buildings were bad things or poor choices or unhelpful by any means. They just weren't what the people needed first. What the people of the village needed took these missionaries to care about them, to be willing to do the work of digging through the government bureaucracy so that they could legally have an identity. And the missionaries did just that, because they were sent by God to bless these people in whatever form that might take. Thursday, I was with a number of youth pastors from around Surrey. I've been meeting with them periodically for almost a year now. You've probably heard me mention that the youth alphas that have sprung up in schools, secondary schools within Surrey and other lower mainland cities. And that's been really exciting to hear about, and that's one of the things that the group has been working to support one another in. But as good pastors, the question now has become for this group, what's next? How can we as the churches, as the youth of Surrey, bless our city? Easily, very easily, it could have turned into a brainstorming session. Each of us giving anecdotal evidence about what we think might be most beneficial for the city. And probably none of us would have been wrong about what a need was. There are a lot of needs in the city. But I was really happy with where the conversation headed for two reasons. One, because it turned into a great illustration, and two, because it is really where it needed to go. Not too long ago, a number of pastors sat down with the mayor to talk about the ways the churches are serving in the city. And so the suggestion was, instead of trying to guess at what the city needs, that we would ask one of these pastors to simply go ask the mayor what we could do for the city. If we could gather the youth for a day, what could we do for the city? And so we're all pretty eagerly awaiting a response. I realize that both of these examples are big community or city-wide examples. But Jesus' example wasn't. Not here, at least. Jesus' example was about one man. Jesus asked just one man, what do you want me to do for you? And so we have a couple of next steps moving forward from today. First, from a big picture, community perspective, I'd invite you, encourage you to take a little time each day, or at least every week, and look through the local section of the Peace Arch, or another local, really local newspaper. Not just the sports or the entertainment, but see what stories are there. Maybe jot down what needs you see from the stories of our community, and then discuss those. Bring those to the attention of others. That's one way that we can begin listening to our community on a big picture level. And the other you can find right there on the handout on your seat or the one next to it on the back. Do some prayerful brainstorming. Ask God for questions for the 3 to 5 people that God has placed on your heart. Questions that will allow you to get to know what it is they need. You'll see some examples on the back there of how to get into some spiritual conversations if that's where things need to head. But as we see in Jesus' healing of the blind man in the village in India, sometimes blessing people starts in a very different place than a spiritual conversation. And so I'd invite you to be open to asking the very broad question, what is it you want me to do for you? And have courage. Even when you don't have the answers, God isn't asking you to be a superhero here. God is simply asking you to be faithful. Ask God who he wants you to introduce to Jesus, and then listen to those people. Listen to what they want from you. I'm really excited to see and to hear what it is God will do through these conversations, through our willingness to listen with care. Heavenly Father, we ask for courage and strength this morning as we are sent to bless the world, Lord. Let us know who it is you would have us bless, and help us to listen to our city, to our community, to our neighbors, our friends, our family. Help us to hear from them what it is we can do for them, how we can bless them. Lord, we ask this knowing that you can do the miraculous. And we pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.com.